Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. The scripture says that the justified ones, shall live by faith. They'll walk by faith. And that faith, our faith, is the victory that overcomes the world. There are misconceptions, even among a lot of church-going people, that it's all up to God. Everything's all up to God. But that's not true. He made us capable beings with a free will. He gave us the ability to think and to think high thoughts. And He gave us the ability to learn the difference between good and evil. And He left it up to our choice, whether we believe or we doubt, whether we obey or we disobey. He is not controlling that for us. It's our choice. And so there's nothing too hard for Him, nothing He can't fix, except if you won't believe. He won't force you to believe against your will. That's the part we must bring to the table. And we've found that the way we get faith is not wishful thinking or begging. It comes by hearing. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Faith in God comes from hearing what God has said. And faith in any area comes from hearing what He said in that area about that subject. So get your Bible, get something to make a note with. Tune everything else out for the next few minutes. Give the Lord, His Word, His Spirit, your full attention and focus, and you will get answers. Father, all of us agree together as touching this, asking you for the anointing that teaches, reveals, reminds, guides, asking you for utterance and anointing and ears to hear and eyes that can see and hearts that can understand, answers for today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. If you would go to the 23rd Psalm, Psalm 23, in recent weeks, we have been on a series that we're calling Faith for Provision. And like we mentioned earlier, in order to get faith in an area, you have to hear what God said about that in that area. So what has God said about provision? Is it His will that we scrape by, that we endure poverty and lack? Is that part of His plan? Does that please Him? Is that His will? Is He opposed to abundance? Is He opposed to nice things? You know, people have ideas. And some of them they got from church that weren't Scripture, that was not right. And the Jesus said this. He said to some of the most religious people of His day, He said, "You have made the Word of God of none effect because of your traditions." You really have to watch about religious traditions because they sound religious, right? They sound, and even sometimes people are quoting a phrase from Scripture. But did you know that the devil quoted Scripture to Jesus during the temptation? And it was wrong. It was out of context. It was misapplied. The Scripture says we are to rightly divide the words, the word of truth. So in every area, if you've heard a lot about being washed by the blood and your sins being forgiven, if you've heard that growing up in the church all your life, then you'll have strong faith for that. Nobody could convince you that the blood couldn't cleanse you and that you're not forgiven. But if you've never heard anything about God being your provider and taking care of you materially, you wouldn't have any faith for that. Even though you have faith that you're saved, you have faith that God is real, you wouldn't have any faith to pay your bills. That kind of thing. You wouldn't have faith that God would help you get a vehicle or a place to live or anything like that. So we're going to fix that. Amen. Is that right? With the Lord, the Lord's going to fix it. We've been feeding focused on this area for week after week after week. Now we're deep into this. So if this is your first time being with us, I recommend that you go online, faithschool.org, and all the previous lessons of this series are there. Won't cost you anything. It's free. You don't have to commit to anything, but it would help you because we're building on everyone that came before. And man, we're already stirred up. We're shouting around here. Yeah. And so you want to catch up with us, right? Yeah. You need to hear why we're already stirred up. So do that. Faithschool.org. But we begin giving one by one 30 reasons from the Bible, not just opinion, 30 scripture truths why we are sure. Abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Amen. Now, that's a big statement. I know it's a big statement, but did you hear the first part? 30. Yes. Huh? If you see something that many times, clearly and plainly in Scripture, after a bit you ought to go, yep, that's the will of God. Exactly. Right?
Yes.
Not once, twice, third, not 10, 20. And 30 is not exhaustive. I'm sure there could be 40, 50, there could be 100. But, you know, it's taken us a while to get to 30. So, did you hear that phrase? Say it out loud by faith, even if it sounds new to you. The scripture's here. It's not just my idea. Said out loud, we are sure.
We are sure.
Abundant provision.
Is always.
God's will.
For us all.
Now there are some, they hear something like that and they go, no, that can't be. Because if it was God's will, then nobody would be in lack. Because in their mind, nothing happens or doesn't happen unless it's God's will. Well, the scripture also says in Peter that God's not willing that any should perish. So are there people perishing? Yeah, there are. Millions of them. And the Lord said that broad was the way that led to destruction, and many that are going there, and the way of salvation is narrow and relatively few. So is it God's will that masses of people are being lost and destroyed? No. So just because something's happening, that does not prove the will of God. Just because something's not happening, that doesn't prove it's not the will of God. You find the will of God in the Word of God.
Amen.
And that doesn't change. Regardless of circumstances, environment, people's thinking, God, He said, I am God, I change not. I don't change. And so He has said and revealed His will is abundant provision. If you believe that, and if you choose to follow Him, you can experience that. Hallelujah. If you're not experiencing that, do not be spiritually lazy and easily fooling, well, it must not be His will. No, put your nose in the book. Find out what He said. Seek Him and ask Him what you're supposed to be doing. Make the adjustments that you're supposed to make in line with His will, and you can experience some glorious things. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Lord can and will take care of you.
Yes.
One of the our first reason that we saw in our 30, number one, was the Lord is my shepherd. And we take it right here from Psalm 23. I mean, what good church-going Christian don't like Psalm 23? Right? I mean, who's opposed to Psalm 23? And yet, what is the very first verse? Help me out. Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd. And the result of that is? I'm often in lack.
No.
I frequently come short.
No.
That's not what it says. Now the same word translated want In the same King James Bible is translated several times lack. Lack. It means lack. It means need. And it has to do with failing. So it's accurate to translate it either one of those ways. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not need. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not fail.
That's right.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Woo.
Hallelujah.
Why? Because I have help. I have a good shepherd. He goes on to say, he leads me. He guides me. He feeds me. He protects me. Right?
Yes.
He prepares a table before me. And we wish there was something on it. No. How many think the Lord's table is full of good things?
Amen.
And he goes on to say, my cup runneth over.
Yes.
Not you know, barely any in it, not half full. My cup runneth over. And he ends up by saying, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Does this sound like lack to you? Like poverty to you? Listen to other translations of this. This is something to get stirred up about. The Young's Literal says, Jehovah is my shepherd, I do not lack. The NIV says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. God's Word translation says, the Lord is my shepherd, I am never in need. Is this Bible?
Yes.
Holman's translation says, the Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I lack. The BBE says, the Lord takes care of me as his sheep, I will not be without any good thing.
Yes.
The easy to read says, the Lord is my shepherd, I will always have everything I need.
Amen.
Is that scripture?
Yes.
So go ahead and say it out loud. The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I do not lack.
I do not lack.
I'm never in need.
I'm never in need.
I will not be without.
I will not be without.
Any good thing.
Any good thing.
I will always have everything.
Have everything.
I need.
I need.
Woo.
Woo. Yes.
Now you see why we're stirred up around here. How could you not be? And why is this? Because the Lord is my shepherd. He takes good care of me. Is he a good shepherd or a bad shepherd?
Good shepherd.
Does he take care of his sheep or just, you know, leave them to themselves and let them starve to death? And no, if you'll follow him. Now, if you're going to do your own thing and take off and leave the flock and wander in the jungle by yourself, you're going to be a snack for the devourer. It's not a joke. But if you're a smart little sheep,
yes.
Huh? I'm looking around. No dumb sheep in faith school, right? Smart sheep. You know what a smart sheep does? He stays close to the shepherd. If the shepherd stops, he'll bump into him. Oh, sorry. Didn't know you were going to stop. You want to be that close to the shepherd. Why? Because he is the light. And apart from him is darkness and confusion and going off the wrong way. No, if you're following him, he takes care of you and you do not lack. Amen. That was reason number one. And if I take time to preach on all of them, you know, it would take us a lot more time. But I'll just mention them again. Go to faithschool.org and get the rest of these. Number two was, we're sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all because of the goodness of God. Is he still good?
Yes.
And number three, the fatherhood of God. Is he a good father?
Yes.
Number four, the creation of God. Did you know when God created the heavens and the earth, he did not create poverty.
Right.
He did not create lack. Yeah. It was perfect. It was abundance. It was only after the fall and sin and the curse that you see these things, poverty and lack. Then we looked at God's will in heaven. How much poverty in heaven? How much lack in heaven? And Jesus taught us to pray, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. He doesn't have two separate wills. We talked about the God of Abraham, number 6. We talked about the God that Abraham knew. Verse 7, that we are the seed of Abraham and his blessing belongs to us. Number 8, we talked about the blessing of tithing. The Lord said if you put him first, he would open the windows of heaven. He would pour out on you till you didn't have room to receive it. He would rebuke the devourer for your sake. Does that sound like being broken? No. Number 9, we talked about honor and riches. The Lord said, you honor me, I'll honor you. Number 10, wisdom and wealth. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, other places repeatedly say that if you're wise, you wind up wealthy. If you're dumb, you'll live in lack and in abject poverty. Well, wouldn't it be confusing if you seek God's wisdom and you follow it and you're broke? Huh? That doesn't line up with the scriptures, right? Can you see that? Number 11, being imitators of God. God does not practice poverty.
That's right. Amen.
Where he lives is nice. We talked about the great I am, number 12. Number 13, the names of God. A whole lot there. Number 14, the God of restoration. Man, this is a wonderful one. Even if you have been hard-headed, even if you have done your own thing and messed your life up and lost everything, it's not too late. God is a God of restoration.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. He will restore you better than before.
Amen.
If you'll come to him, if you'll repent, if you'll mean business and purpose to follow him, he'll get you out of debt. He'll get you out of the ditch. He'll get you out of addiction. Oh, come on. He will get you to another place.
Yes.
The Bible said he takes those out of the dunghill and sets them with princes.
Amen.
Woo. God of restoration. Number 15 in our study, which brought us halfway, to the 30, is God's provision in the wilderness. He provided for his people Israel 40 years in a bleak, desolate desert. I mean, he brought them bread out of the sky. He brought them water out of flinty rock. He brought quail in, flew them in fresh from who knows from where. And he proved over and over again, it doesn't matter where you are. You could be in the poorest of places, but God can still provide for you there.
Hallelujah.
He can provide for you anywhere.
Anywhere.
Doesn't matter who's in office. What's going on with the economy? What's going on with the company you work for? Beware of believing the enemy's lies, telling you, well, you couldn't expect to have that this year. Well, no, you can't expect to have that living where you are. No, you can't expect to have that. You don't have that education. You don't have the context. There are 10,000 reasons the enemy will give you why it won't work for you and why you can't come up. Lies,
yes.
Lies. All of them lies. God, who created the heavens and the earth, can and will provide for you anywhere.
Amen.
Come on, say it out loud. He can bless me.
He can bless me.
He can lift me.
He can lift me.
Where I am.
Where I am.
Right now.
Right now.
Today.
Today.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And all that brings us down to our current point, number 16. Number 16 in our study today, and we have actually been on this one for a while too, but we are sure, don't you like that word, sure? We are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all because of the promised land. The promised land. If you've read your scripture much, you know that when God brought Israel out of Egyptian bondage, he talked to them about the promised land. The promised land was described multiple ways, but it was called a land that flows with milk and honey. Hallelujah. Some dozen times or so it's called that. It was called the good land. It was called the pleasant land. It was called the glory of all lands. It was called a land where there is no scarceness, no lack, no want of anything in the earth. Wow. Sounds like a nice place.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
The promised land. Now, even today, you'll hear that phrase used in all kind of things, sometimes in a wrong way. But as you learn about Scripture, you'll find that a lot of phrases that people use and apply to other things actually came from the Scriptures. So the promised land was the land that God had promised to, actually, way before they were in Egypt, to Abraham. And he told him that that his seed would inherit the land that he had traveled through. And it was promised to Abraham's seed by covenant. And he kept his covenant. And even though there was a delay because of unbelief, the following generation entered in and lived there and enjoyed it. But what we need to understand is, why is all this in the Scripture? What is the promised land a type of? A mistake that a lot of people make is attributing it to a type of heaven, of being in heaven. Well, you know, one of these days we'll make it to the promised land. And the land that flows with milk and honey, the good land, the pleasant land, where there's no want, there's no scarcity. That sounds like heaven to people, and many people have said, well, that's portraying heaven. It is not. It is not. It can't be. They had to fight to get a hold of the promised land.
Right?
Right? They had to overcome giants.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And fight giants. They had to overcome walled cities. Mm-hmm. You remember that?
Yes.
No, he said, here it is. I've given it to you. Now go up and possess it.
Yes.
Man, you had to use your faith, and you had to use your brawn too. And so, I'm looking forward to going to heaven, but I'm not looking forward to the first day I get there having to fight. How about you? Or having to try to break through a wall, or face a 10-foot giant and go, man, I thought we were done with this back on earth. So no, Canaan's land, the promised land, is not a type of heaven. Because in heaven, no more curse, no more sorrow,
amen,
no more crying, no more pain, no more dying. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank God. No. All that's down here. And down here, we must, right here and now, every generation of believers, we must fight the good fight of faith and overcome. But if you do, and if you will, you can have what the Bible calls days of heaven.
Amen.
On the earth. Now, it's not just like going to heaven. No, that's later. But you'll get a taste of heaven. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In what? Well, let's look at it again. Go with me, if you would, to the book of Exodus 20 and verse 5. He said, say to them, thus says the Lord God, in the day when I chose Israel and lifted up my hand to the seed of the house of Jacob and made myself known to them in the land of Egypt, I lifted up my hand to them and I said, I am the Lord your God. In the day that I lifted up my hand to them to bring them forth of the land of Egypt into a land that I had espied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. The Lord, He gave a lot of description of this. And He even told them, He said, it's not like the land of Egypt that you came out of. And even today, if you look at Egypt, there is, farming and vegetation and greenery around the Nile, around the river. You get out a little bit beyond that, it's desert. It's just dry, desolate desert. And so He said you had to water that with your foot. So remember, they didn't have electric pumps and all that back then. So this was irrigation that they had to foot power. They either had to walk it down or, something to pump the water to it. He said, no, Canaan's land is not like that. He said, I watch over it. I rain on it. I bring the rain, the early rains to start the crop and the latter rains to finish up the crop. And he talked about it's a land of hills and valleys and how rich it is and how well taken care of it is. This is a land and a life with the blessing of the Lord on it. Hallelujah. Yes.
Hallelujah.
The believers have a right to that, access to that. And so look in Deuteronomy now. Deuteronomy the 8th chapter and the 6th verse. What is the promised land? Deuteronomy 8:6, he says, therefore you will keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God brings you into a good land. Now I want us to emphasize that this week. What kind of land?
Good land.
Which is the opposite of a
bad
land. A good land. A land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills. It's not dry. It's not parched. It's not drought ridden. It's well watered. A land of wheat, barley, vines, fig trees, pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey. Somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
A land wherein you shall eat bread without scarceness. You shall not lack anything in it. A land in whose stones are iron, out of whose hills you may dig brass. When you have eaten and are full, you shall bless the Lord your God for the what? For the what? For the good land which he has given you. God's a good God. What is his plan? It's a good plan to bring you into a good land. Is that right? It was his will. It is his will. It always will be his will. Said out loud, Lord, I believe you.
Lord, I believe you.
Thank you for the good land.
Thank you for the good plan.
Thank you for the good
plan.
Thank you for the good life.
Thank you for the good life.
I believe in your goodness, my faithful God. Hallelujah. Well, our time is up again today. Goes by pretty quickly, doesn't it? But hearing these things, does it help you? It's truth, and the truth will make you free. Hallelujah. Well, come back tomorrow. There's a lot more. We just got this introduced good. We'll see you soon back here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.